नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद्भागवतम् Canto 7, Chapter 14, Text 9. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of ISKCON. Rigoshtra karamar kaku Sari srip kagamakshikaha Atmana putra vat pasyet Taire shamantarangiyat. One should treat animals such as deer, camels, asses, monkeys, mice, snakes, birds, and flies exactly like one's own son. How little difference there actually is between children and these innocent animals. One who is in Krishna consciousness understands that there is no difference between the animals and the innocent children in one's home. Even in our ordinary life, it is our practical experience that a household dog or cat is regarded on the same level as one's children without any envy. Like children, the unintelligent animals are also sons of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore a Krishna-conscious person, even though a householder, should not discriminate between children and poor animals. Unfortunately, modern society has devised many means for killing animals in different forms of life. For example, in the agricultural fields, there may be many mice, flies, and other creatures that disturb production, and sometimes they are killed by pesticides. In this verse, however, such killing is forbidden. Every living entity should be nourished by the food given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Human society should not consider itself the only enjoyer of all the properties of God. Rather, men should understand that all the other animals also have a claim to God's property. In this verse, even the snake is mentioned, indicating that a householder should not be envious even of a snake. If everyone is fully satisfied by eating food that is a gift from the Lord, why should there be envy between one living being and another? In modern days, people are very much inclined towards communistic ideas of society, but we do not think there can be any better communistic idea than that which is explained in this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. Even in the communistic countries, the poor animals are killed without consideration, although they should also have the right to take their allotted food with which to live. Narad Muni is giving a description of ideal family life. Nowadays we think of family life sitting in some little apartment on the 15th story of an apartment building block in some dirty, smelly, noisy city. But family life traditionally means living at home, on the land, or even in the city with some space, not squashed up. With animals. Animals are part of life in the village because village life centers around food production. The village is an arrangement whereby people live together for producing grains. And of course all other functions go on, such as teaching and religious activities, social activities, but people live in the village for the sake of food production, whereas they live in the cities for the sake of rubber tire production, plastic duck production, and all these kind of things they make in factories. So food production means animals. Nowadays, of course, food production also means machines. Huge machines. You find some machines in America, this combine harvester. Maybe it will take up the space, almost half of this veranda area here. Huge machine. But traditionally, food production was with animals. Therefore, animals were considered so highly. One was considered a wealthy person, gavayo dhanavan, if one has many animals. And dhanavan, dhanyavan dhanavan, means one who has grains, stock of grains. He is considered a rich person. Nowadays, if one has piles of paper, or if he has some statement saying that he has so many dollars in the bank, or so many dollars in stocks and shares, then he's considered a rich person. But actually this is of no ultimate value. Just like if there's an economic crash, or if there's a war or something like this, then your money cannot help you. This paper cannot help you. But if you have cows and bulls, and grains, then whatever the external economic situation managed by the demons goes on, then one is in a comfortable position. So animals, they are part of life. Now, when we think about, of course, men like to live with animals, and certain animals, they like to live with men. Animals such as dogs. You see the little puppy dog. If they have no master, then they'll walk along behind you and trip over your feet, saying, "Please come, make yourself my master." They're looking for a master. So animals like cats and dogs and cows, horses, they like to live with human beings. And humans like to have them. You see, nowadays, even people, they live in apartments. They keep some dog or cat or budgerigar, something like this. There's some kind of affection. So here, Narad Muni is recommending, don't be envious of the animals. Don't simply use them. In the third canto of Bhagavatam, the example is given of an old man who is simply looked after at home like a worn-out ox, that he's given food, but grudgingly. So not like that. Narad Muni is recommending. Of course, nowadays, the worn-out ox, he doesn't even have a chance to become worn-out because he gets his throat cut before he's worn-out. Or the cows. The cows, they'll never, in India even today, they won't. And some are selling and driving over the border from Madras to Kerala or from Gujarat to Pakistan. So many cows are going for slaughter. Actually, I remember the first time I came to India, I was so much shocked. Because we were driving by taxi over Howrah Bridge in Calcutta. We saw so many cows, they look a little bit old, cows being driven and being beaten. I was surprised. What is this in India? We heard India is the land of cow protection. They love the cows. Everywhere you see in Hindu homes, pictures of cows. Krishna, we know, Govinda. And here you see beating. So why are they beating them? Where are they taking them? Why are they so afraid? They're taking them for slaughter. So even in India, how much fallen down? We're reading about Vedic culture. But still, there are many places where they have goshalas and the old cows will be put there, and Jain trusts and Marwari trusts, they will look after the cows. The idea they should be looked after. But the system is not to send to some goshala. That's not the system. The householder himself should look after the cow in old age. Just like sometimes we see, even now, their householders, they like to, even they keep their old bulls because they worked with them for so many years. And they don't, even they're old and they can't do any work, they like to keep them because they have some affection. So just like children, Narad Muni is recommending, keep these animals just like children and not simply, here Prabhupada is giving the purport. Purport means the Acharya has to explain. Vyasadeva has spoken and the Acharya will explain more. So it's being described here that the Krishna conscious householder, he keeps animals. Here it's recommended you keep with affection, but not simply bodily affection. The household, the griha mudha dhi, that means the fool in household life. Yudhishthira Maharaj, he asked Narad Muni to instruct him, because calling himself griha mudha dhi, Yudhishthira Maharaj is not griha mudha dhi, not a fool, but he's seeing himself like that. So the householder who's simply entangled in family life without any higher consciousness, he sees his own children with affection because he thinks this child is mine, is produced from my body. Because he thinks I am this body, therefore he thinks the child is the product of my body, therefore he's affectionate towards the child. But the Krishna conscious understanding of this is that we should see our own children and all the animals and all living beings, even down to the flies, as putravat, just as good as our own children. Why to be affectionate? Because they're all parts and parcels of Krishna, with that understanding, not with the understanding of mundane affection. So here Narad Muni is giving instruction on householder life. We may be surprised at this, because Narad himself is an avowed brahmachari. There are 10 mental sons of Brahma, Atri, Marichi, Daksha, Vasishtha, Bhrigu, Pulastya, Kratu, so on. Narad is the youngest, and he is considered the best because he's only interested in spiritual advancement. The other 9, they are householders, they're also great sages, But Narada is considered the best because he had no interest in entering into family life. He's only interested in being a brahmachari and Narad Muni Bhajai Veena Radhika Ramana Name. Simply wandering here and there, playing his Veena and chanting Radhika Ramana, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and going from planet to planet and preaching Krishna consciousness. So he's considered the best of the mental sons of Brahma. And he's very strong about brahmachari life. Even we see Daksha, he was what might be considered a good householder. Had many sons, first of all Haryashvas, after that Shavalashvas, first of all 1,000 and 10,000 sons. And he was training them in brahmachari life for the purpose of later becoming good householders. But Narad Muni thought, why should they become good householders? They're brahmacharis, they can go back to Godhead. So he preached to them like that. That now you're a brahmachari, so why get entangled? You're already in brahmachari life, you're already practicing austerities. So why don't you focus your austerities on going back to Godhead? Why you go into family life, there's so much entanglement. Brahmachari, he can simply chant Hare Krishna. His only business is to serve Guru and Krishna. When one becomes a householder, he has to think of ato griha kshetra sutapta vitaya. He becomes entangled because the hridaya granthi, the knot on the heart, becomes tied up. Pungsastriya mituni bhava metam tayoraho hridaya granthi mahu. This attraction between male and female is the basic binding force in material life. And when husband and wife join in sex life, then very strong knot. Oh my wife, oh my husband, I love you. I love you so much, I cannot live without you. You are everything to me. All this poetry in the world, all the mundane poetry, is simply mostly describing this, just like there was one, I think that was John Keats, famous British poet, wrote that, truth is beauty. Then what's his idea of beauty? He's describing, beauty is describing the form of some beautiful woman. So he was in Maya. He was thinking that this is truth. And truth means sex, ultimately. That's all material philosophy. All philosophies devoid of the absolute truth, they come to this point, ultimately. Kim anyat kama haitukam. What else is there in this world but lust and sex? Asatyam apratishtam te jagadahur anishvaram aparasparasambhutam. Kim anyat kama haitukam. The materialistic philosophers, they say, there is no absolute truth, there's no ultimate truth, there's no basis to existence. There's no controller of the universe. Everything is just going on by chance. It's not a new idea. Big bang, little bang, medium bang. It's not a new idea. Even Krishna was speaking about this long time ago. That mundaners, they say, there's nothing in the world, the only thing, there's no cause, then what is left? Simply lust, enjoy life. So this is the basic principle of material existence. And when one becomes united in family life, then he's not only thinking in terms of body, this body, that body, but ato griha, then we have to have a home. Lovebirds have to have a nest. So ato griha kshetra, some land, or one is thinking, this is my land. Mera Bharat Mahan, our India is so wonderful and so great. Amar Sona Bangla Amito Mai Bhalobashi, my golden Bengal, I love you. So all these, so many songs. There will always be an England, stars and stripes. Something like that. There will always be an England. England, for all thy faults, I love thee. Everyone is thinking, my country is the best. I'm Spanish, therefore Spain is the best country in the world. Must be, because I'm Spanish. I was born here. So, like this. Britain is the best country. Actually, in Britain, at least, it's a little funny, it's a little off the point, but I was seeing in the newspaper recently that, not recently, some years ago, that they did a survey in Britain that what makes you most proud to be British? And more than 50% of the people, they couldn't think of anything to say. They couldn't find any one reason to be proud of being British. And they wrote, our football, we lost our empire. Our football team is always losing. Our cricket team is always losing. So what is there to be proud of? Then someone wrote that we should change the national anthem from God Save the Queen to the Beatles song Yesterday, where the words go, yesterday, what is that?
All my troubles
seem so far away. Now I think they're here to stay. I believe in yesterday. So this is Great Britain. It was great. Now it's not great. So anyway, everyone's attached to their country. They're thinking, maybe in future Britain will be great. Actually, Prabhupada told how Britain would be great. One lord, one of these British lords, Prabhupada said, how they became a lord, they went to India. They were just like this Clive, Robert Clive. He went as an ordinary worker on the ship, and somehow or other, by politics, bribery, cheating, he got a lot of money, and he made Britain, he solidified Britain's power in India. In other words, he was a big demon. So anyway, they made him a lord. So Prabhupada was meeting, that's how he said, they all became lords. By somehow or other, they got money by cheating, and then they made lord somebody, and they would eat rotten pheasants. If you know about the aristocratic life in Britain, they shoot pheasants, and then they hang them up, and when the maggots are dropping out of them, then they think, now it's very nice to eat. So this is high aristocracy, British life. So then he was speaking with this lord, and he said, now you've lost your empire, but you can again become great. You can again rule the world. You just take a little advice from me. I will tell you how. Yes, become Krishna conscious and rule the world. So everyone is attached to their country. Ato griha kshetra, suta, sons and daughters, apta, kutumba, this means family, friends. In India they have so many words, I could never understand them. For your brother-in-law this way, and your brother-in-law that way, and your mothers, grandfathers, uncles, aunts, sisters, they have so many words, chachi, mummy, and in English we only have uncle, aunt, and that's about all. But in Indian languages, so many words. So family means not just one or two, uncle, aunt, but so extended family, big family. So that means actually more entanglement. Prabhupada said that one good thing in the Western countries is they don't have so much family attachment. Of course, in another way, that's not very good, because the whole society is complete chaos. So ato griha kshetra suta apta, vitair, and money. When one becomes a householder, then he has to think of money, no more renounced life. No, of course, nowadays we see brahmacharis with big bank accounts and all these things, but brahmachari is meant to be simple, very simple life. Whatever money he gets, he gives to his guru. And his guru also is not supposed to be building up big bank accounts, investing, shares, this, that. Because whatever money he gets, he spends in the service of Krishna. If you ever get money, print books. Don't forget the sannyasi's bank accounts. Not just brahmacharis. All right, I'm sorry, Gopala, I wasn't getting on your case. If the shoe fits, wear it. So anyway, Narad Muni is, Bhagavatam is recommending, don't be entangled. Rishabhdev was speaking to his sons, don't get entangled. Be renounced. Ato griha kshetra sutapta vitari janasya moho yama hangmameti. This attachment and entanglement leads more and more to illusion. I, me, and mine. So Narad Muni was recommending, don't get married. But here he's teaching what is ideal family life. But why is that? If he didn't just tell Yudhishthira Maharaj that you're asking for ideal family life. He didn't say, ideal family life means, come with me and take sannyas. He didn't say that. Yesterday I met one disciple of Prabhupada. He's from South India, and first time devotees came to his town. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Ram Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Ram Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Prabhupada disciple, the first time devotees came to his town, he immediately became a life member, and then within a year he got initiated by Prabhupada. So then he got initiated by Srila Prabhupada, first initiation. That was in 1975. So in 1976 he met Prabhupada again, And he asked Prabhupada that, I'd like to give up my family life. So Prabhupada asked, how old are your children? He told him they were still quite young. So he told him, wait till they're older, then you renounce. So I met him and now he's renounced. Very nice. Shamdas. Do you know him? Maybe you don't know him. Shamdas from Kakinada. So, generally we recommend, actually we always recommend, if you're brahmachari, don't get married. But if you're a householder, don't get unmarried. If you're already married, now you entered into that. Now you should stay there. And go through that. Actually, we're saying brahmachari, we don't recommend to get married. That's the general. But then in individual case, we also may recommend, yes, do get married. Just like there was one devotee, I remember, I heard this, Radha Vallabha. He asked Prabhupada, then I want to take sannyas. Prabhupada told him, get married. So you have to see what is the individual person. Generally we recommend that if you can avoid all this entanglement, you now you have to get, instead of just serving Guru and Krishna and going out and preaching and living a simple life, then you have to think how to bring money, how to arrange for the education of your children, how to arrange for the marriage of your daughters, social life, in-laws, outlaws, swajana, what is that? Swajana kedasyu. That means in-laws who are outlaws. That's Sanskrit word. Swajana arkyadasya means that you are telling that you come home to your wife and she says, oh my darling, give me all your money. And you say, yes. Now if anyone on the street does that, they're called thief, robber. When your wife does, oh yes, please take all my money. So Bhagavatam calls Swajana arkyadasya. You have to work hard and simply offer everything, mind, body, words, to your wife. Of course, that's grihamurhadi, grihamedi life. We don't recommend that. We recommend grihastha life, where Krishna is in the center. But even in grihastha life, there are so many distractions. Therefore, we recommend brahmachari life. But, again, realistically, practically, we see not everyone is ready for that. Therefore, there must be grihasthas. But grihastha means grihastha. Means he stays in the grihastha life. Grihastha. Stha means fixed. He's also fixed. Not that, oh, I took, so many times we see someone's married for some time, then they come up and they say, oh, it's amazing. It's true, it's in the Bhagavatam, all these things. It's miserable, it's horrible, it's full of different difficulties. They're there in the Bhagavatam. You didn't believe it, now you believe it. So then I want to take sannyas. After 3 months married, no. Because you won't stay as sannyasi. One thing. Another thing, you're not fit for that. Another thing, now you took the responsibility, now you have to stay in that. We see in this recommendation, ideal family life, there's no recommendation for divorce. This Narad Muni is giving idea of what is ideal family life, and he will describe all the different ashrams, but never does he say divorce, and you won't even find this word, divorce. Now they've invented some words in Sanskrit. Just like they invented a word for television, Durdarshan. So all modern things, it is Dur, it means very bad darshan. That's what Durdarshan is. But they invented some word, very high-sounding Sanskrit term, Vivaha Vichet. Sounds like a very elegant Sanskrit term. It means divorce. Actually in Hindi, any Indian language, they say talak. Talak is an Urdu word from Muslim culture. Talak means divorce. Otherwise in Indian languages, there's no such word. Or they say divorce. That is an English word. But in Indian languages, there's no such word, there's no such idea. Just like you'll find in some languages, like Thai language. There's no word for God. And there's no word for God and there's no idea. They have no such idea. Just like in English previously, before these explorers went to Africa, there was no word for giraffe, rhinoceros. And no one had any idea. When the explorers came back from Africa, they said, we saw an animal as high as a house. It eats leaves from the top of a tree and has a neck like a long ladder called a giraffe. And people said, you went to Africa? The sun there is very hot. You became crazy and you're thinking there's such a thing. Because they had no idea of such a thing. They couldn't imagine such a thing existed. So Narad Muni, he's describing family life, no description of divorce. I was thinking to write some book on, I wrote Brahmacharya in Krishna Consciousness, to write family life in Krishna Consciousness. Now we think, well, why should a sannyasi do that? Well, anyway, all the time people are coming and asking us. So you might as well put it in a book and then just give them the book. But I think 80%, we could say it's a 100-page book, I think 80 pages we can put on every single page, don't divorce, don't divorce. Page 2, page 3, don't divorce. Page 4, don't divorce. That's 80% of the book. Sometimes we hear devotees say, we're trying to make our marriage work. That means it won't work. Because if you're trying, it means there's room for failure. You're leaving some room. If it doesn't work, then we'll divorce. But it won't work, it means there will be so many problems. And if you think there's a solution, we shall divorce. Then you'll take that. If you leave that thought in mind, then you'll go to that. But if you think there's no question of divorce, then somehow or other, you will adjust. This is a very important word in Hindi and all Indian languages. This is one secret. If you want to stay in India, you have to learn. It's a very important Hindi word. It's also an English, came from English, this word, adjust. Hum adjust karenge. Just like when you get on the train, the seat is there for 3 people and there's already 7 people sitting on it. And then the people who's actually reserved, they come. They didn't come yet. So, I'm adjust karing. Somehow or other we'll adjust. Or you have a reservation for 3 and you have 5 people. And then the ticket inspector comes. How will you do? We'll adjust. So this is an important word. Somehow or other you have to adjust. Not that, of course, the TT's, his adjustment is he'll throw you out of the carriage. But there's some other way to do. So we may say, we'll make some other arrangement. How will we solve all our family problems? One solution, we will break the family. Then there's no more family problem. Just like Prabhupada gave that example, Mayavad. Their solution, I have a pain in my eye. What is the solution? I will solve the problem, cut out the eye. Or the doctor comes, what is the problem with the child? He has so much pain in his stomach. Don't worry, I'll solve the problem. I'll give him an injection and kill him. Then he won't have any more pain in the stomach. He won't complain to you anymore, and you won't have to bother about it anymore. So that's Mayavad idea, that material life is full of problems, therefore stop all our existence, become void. But that's not the solution. The solution is to come to the proper position. So this idea, there's so many problems in family life, therefore I will divorce. I already have 3 children, but to hell with them. I found some nice young secretary, very beautiful, and she flutters her eyelashes like this. And anyway, I'm fed up of my wife, so I have the solution to the problem. I'll divorce her. And the government will give some money. Prabhupada said this is encouraging prostitution. The government, in the Western countries anyway, they give money to unmarried mothers. It means they're encouraging prostitution. Prostitution, of course, Prabhupada used this term. In the West, prostitute means a woman who sells her body for money. But Prabhupada was explained that in Indian culture, prostitute means any woman who just is loose, goes here and there. Just like Prabhupada was explaining, Chintamani was girlfriend of his Bildamangal Thakur. So Prabhupada said, in your country you call girlfriend, in our country we call prostitute. That's all. You say girlfriend. You say prostitute, because not married. Anyone who's simply making herself available without marriage, that either way, prostitute or lumpat, the other side is lumpat. A man who's just going here and there without any concern, no marriage, no responsibility, is called lumpat. Means rake, that's called in English. Or debauchee, that's another term. So this family life means responsibility. When one gets married, he has a license to enjoy sex life, but not an license means there are terms and conditions. Therefore, married life. Otherwise, the dogs on the street, they also have sex life, but no marriage. Marriage means terms and conditions. Means you're responsible, husband is responsible to the wife is responsible to the children, They're responsible to the elder parents to look after them. They're responsible to the children to look after them. They're responsible to the society to act as good citizens. They have to do something within society for the upliftment of society, either working as a carpenter, as a shudra or vaishya or kshatriya or brahmana. They have to do something in society, not simply irresponsible. Vedic life means responsible life. And the modern society means irresponsible. Therefore we see people, they take up some vow, I will follow these four regulated principles throughout my life. And after some time they say, oh, now I don't feel like it anymore. But that's, then why take a vow? Prabhupada said that is an animal. When he was asked, what about devotees who don't chant 16 rounds after initiation? Prabhupada said, they're not devotees, they are animals. Because they took a promise and they did not fulfill it. That means an animal cannot take a promise, a human being can. Therefore you're not a human being. Of course, individually dealing with devotees who had fallen from the standard, Prabhupada was very kind. But in his lectures, in his preaching, in his books, he set the actual standard. So Vedic life means responsibility. Without this responsibility, without this sense of responsibility, no one can lead a proper life. He doesn't live a human life unless he takes some responsibility. Materially, especially householders, they have to nourish the rest of society by producing food and distributing to the three other orders. Householders, they have so much responsibility. They have the responsibility to lead an ideal life. Not otherwise they corrupt the whole society. Just like we see within our ISKCON society, it's almost accepted that divorce is okay, didn't work out, alright, try again. This is irresponsibility. Then a precedent is set, then everyone else thinks, alright, it's okay. Everyone else is doing it, I shall do it. Now this social development conference is going on, but there's no social development as long as this divorce business is going on. Which there's no question. Nor is there any question of our movement, as Prabhupada said, taking over the world. Who wants to join a society where there's no stability? We're talking high, big talk, but then we can't even live a normal human life. Then people, they'll think, oh, very nice books, I like the philosophy in your books, but it has no meaning if we can't live according to it. And I was just, Narasingh Maharaj is preaching in Taiwan. He was telling me that so many young women there are becoming Buddhist monks, like nuns, shaving their head and everything, because they're so frustrated that they think there's no chance of me getting a good husband who will be responsible. So they're just out of frustration, they're all becoming Buddhist female monks. Of course, we generally don't recommend that. Prabhupada was... That's the culture, has been the culture in India, that all girls should get married. Otherwise, there'll be disturbance in society. All girls should get married, and when they should get married, before puberty. And Prabhupada, he was... If we see what are Prabhupada's instructions for family life, it goes against all modern ideas. Now they have the idea, even in India, you see, everyone wants to send their daughter to college, and then they're 24 years old, not married, 25 years old, not married, and then when they have so much idea of independence, then they want to get a job. And the same thing as in the West. In India, they're very anxious to import the Western culture. I have no idea why, because it's such a disaster. They're deliberately importing disaster. That they were all the wrong ideas. That women should go to work and have a job, and then they come home and they have their children, and the children are not looked after because their mother's not at home to look after them. She comes in and she's already harassed, and she has to cook, so there's no time to cook anything properly, so she gets something out of the freezer, sticks it in the microwave, and there's no time for the children. Just turn on the TV, and the TV is the mother, father, and guru of the whole society. And then they all become little demons, and they're so shocked. My son, we're from middle class background, but my son pulled a gun and shot someone in the school. In New York, in the public schools, The children, before they go into school, every morning they search for weapons. This is modern society, very advanced society. Everyone is looking to America. Let us follow America. You want this? That your children will be searched in the school because they'll bring guns to school and shoot each other. This is, and they're surprised and they're talking. How can we improve society? But where does the improvement come? Where does it begin? If your mother is a prostitute and you don't know your father because you already had three so-called fathers and your mother is already looking for another one, and anyway you never see your mother because she just comes home from work and you have to take your food out of the fridge and watch the TV, and on TV you see killing, and then when you get to the age of 12 or 13 you think, well, why should I watch it on TV? I'll do it myself. Killing, taking drugs, so many things. So the whole modern society is a disaster. And our Krishna consciousness movement is supposed to give the solution to all the problems. Prabhupada said in future people will join our farm communities in millions. Prabhupada used this word millions. Being so much frustrated by modern society with its emptiness, shallowness, that they worship fools and rascals. If the bigger the fool and the bigger the rascal, the more they worship them. Just like one little incident, this Bill Clinton, whose name? Bill Clinton. Bill Gates is another Bill. So Bill Clinton, there was this accusation against him that he had some mistress. So he was trying to say, no, I didn't do it, I'm good, I'm a very nice person. But then the French Prime Minister said, well, in France, we think if you don't have a mistress, you're not even considered a man, so what's wrong with him? Doing that. Then Bill Clinton's popularity shot up. That, oh yeah, he's a real man because he's not faithful to his wife. So what is this? They want a dog as their leader. They're all dogs, and the biggest dog, that's what Prabhupada said, he'll become their leader. So this is what they want. This is the person they want to emulate. And who? Big leaders are who? Who's the most famous woman in America? That Madonna. Who's just all these film stars. In India also, film star, heroine, film heroine means just a big prostitute, that's all. Showing off their body. They're not supposed to do that. Dancing, and everyone is like dogs watching. So this is promoting lust. And what can you expect in society? Because lust, then what follows lust? Anger. Another word for anger is Kamanuja. You've heard of Ramanuja? And the opposite is Kamanuja. It means the younger brother of Kam is Krodh. What follows lust is anger. Kama Esha, Krodha Esha. And where there's Kam and Krodh, there will also be lobe, attachment, greed. And what does Krishna say about this? Trividham narakasya idam dwaram nashanam atmanah kamas krodhas tatha lobhas tasmat etat trayam tyajet. That there are three gates leading to hell: kam, krodh, lobh, lust, anger and greed. Therefore an intelligent person should give them up. But the modern society is promoting lust, anger and greed. Promoting. The more lusty you are, you see, some beautiful woman, hairstyle, lipstick, mascara, so many. You go in their bathroom in some home, and the whole big shelf, all kinds of things, creams, powders, makeup to put on, and makeup remover to take it off again, and something for your fingernails, something for your toenails, and so many different things, all simply to promote lust. That men will look at me, and they will become lusty. And men also have so many cosmetics, hairstyles, fashions, shoes. So all simply promoting that women will look at me and they will become lusty. So they're promoting these things. And TV means, or cinema in India, lust, only two things. Lust and anger means sex and violence. And then greed, now in India also they're promoting. What? You have to have a big car. If you just have some, even to have a small car is not enough. You have to have a big car. Why? Just to show others, I am better than you, because I have a bigger car than you. So we have people become greedy, I want more money, just to show how important I am. So the whole society is going on this principle, promoting lust, anger and greed, which leads to hell.
And that doesn't just mean that when you die you go to hell, you're already making hell here. If you can't walk on the street without fear of being raped or mugged, then what is that? That is hell. That's not either. You see in New York, big museums, art galleries. This is supposed to be high culture. But you can't walk on the street after dark. So this is not culture. This is hellish life. And people are living in hellish consciousness. Because they must be in hellish consciousness. Because all the time there's some advertisement. Buy this, buy that. And every advertisement, some beautiful woman is there. Smoke this cigarette and beautiful woman will come. So they're always, already that lusty propensity is there in the heart. And cultured society means to live in such a way that that lust will be dampened. It won't be promoted. And the lust will be turned gradually to love of Krishna. That is ideal family life. And you live in family life for the sake of becoming Krishna conscious, not for the sake of promoting lust. But modern society is promoting lust. And people become crazy. Naturally, if you're always thinking lusty thoughts, then that is crazy. That in itself is craziness. And just, I heard yesterday that they made some analysis. Of course, these are not very nice things to say in class with so many ladies present and so many things, but maybe we should know these things also. That almost all of the crazy people, they are regularly masturbating. And they become crazy. They lose all their semen and their mind is just totally overcome with lust. So crazy society. And out of this come simply how you can satisfy your lusty desire. The whole society is centered around that. Fulfilling the lusty desire, which the dog does on the street. Therefore we should make the dog and the pig, if we think they're the best, why not make them prime minister? They're the most successful. We're trying for that. Who can be the most lusty and greedy and angry? Like this Rambo or this Arnold Schwarzenegger. What's that guy's name? This huge guy? Whatever it is. What is the other guy? I don't know, but they have these big... This is considered very prestigious. This is a real man. If you have a body, very big, strong body. That is demoniac. I was just reading yesterday that Hiranyaksha, when he walked on the earth would shake because he was so strong. So demons, that is among the demoniac, they think you have a big, strong body like an ox. That is very prestigious. But our Krishna conscious movement is, as Prabhupada said, we are introducing civilization in the Western countries for the first time. They're very proud. They'll show, what is that? I was just in Moscow. 850 years of Moscow. They're very proud. Our city is, that means 850 years of animal life. 850 years of ignorance. Civilization came to Moscow when in 1971, when Srila Prabhupada went there. Otherwise it was cat and dog life. In New York, they had this, what is that, bicentennial in about, what, 1976, something like that? 1975? So they're very proud, but actually nothing good ever happened in America until 1965 when Srila Prabhupada came there. So whatever is, they say, what is that? Everything's great in America. There's that song. Everything's great in America. They used to... So that can be great by Krishna consciousness only. This Krishna consciousness movement is meant for introducing real civilization, real culture, that you live in family life. We're not against, we're not so much fanatic. We are pretty much fanatic, but not totally fanatic. If you want to live in family life, all right, no objection. But live, as Prabhupada said, like a gentleman. Gentleman means you take responsibility, you look after your children, in both materially and spiritually. You live in family life, but your goal to understand God, not to live like a polished animal, as Prabhupada said. Don't live like a polished animal. So our Krishna consciousness movement is meant to give a better direction to human society. And if in our society, our householders live like this, instead of having a roulette game, who's next, like the karmis, then people will notice.
I suppose, then no one will take any notice of us. So preaching, we're talking about preaching all over the world, it doesn't just mean distributing books, having festivals, initiating people. No, preaching means we have to show people how to lead a better life. And that is mostly the responsibility of the householders, because mostly the householders, most of people in human society are householders. So if householders have the greatest responsibility in preaching, means living a normal life, chanting Hare Krishna. Normal, by normal I mean, but settled. Not divorce, no divorce. So, of course, human society at the present time is very disturbed. Everything about it is disturbing. And our own consciousness is very disturbed. But these things, every devotee has to fix it. Whatever my nonsense mind says, and whatever nonsense ideas are being propagated, I have to fix on this. Now I've come to Krishna consciousness, I have to stay. And for those who are householders, they have another thing to fix on. Now I've ended household life, I have to stay. At least until my children are old enough to look after their mother and look after themselves. Then, aranyam tena gantavyam, then go to the forest, then take some rest. Before that, no. Simple principle. We stick to it, then we don't need so many discussion. Of course, there'll always be discussion, householders' problems. But 80% householders' problems will be solved just by this. Don't divorce. Just that resolution. Very simple thing. People wonder why in Indian families it seems so nice, their family life, compared to the West. Of course, that seems so nice. We should also understand that's also, it's not so nice, because it's the cause of so much entanglement also. But that peacefulness in family life comes just from this resolution. Don't divorce. Stay steady in family life. Take responsibility. Fulfill your material duties and your spiritual duties simultaneously. Then there are so many other questions, just like how to find time in this rat race society even to have sadhana. And other questions come. But first, this sense of responsibility has to be there. Hare Krishna. All rise to Srila Prabhupada. Maharaj, please. Bataya.
Thank you for your nice talk.
Nehru, he did so many things. He was the biggest disaster.
I was mentioning yesterday. But I was thinking of when I was in Europe, I appreciated when you were very helpful. So then actually, made to
find this country, that
the
wife
can be host of the husband. There was no knowledge.
And
if there is one time, it's not it.
There's no question.
There's no question. So, one of the points I really appreciate very much is that we have different philosophy, we have everything. But we are not practicing that. How we can the first people? How people can join to us? And so much devotees, very important, one of your men. And I need our husband to understand this point. And I have a question that you mentioned that you are, when you go to school, that's first, you know, they are. One day when you give my contact, it's not by the cycle. It keeps the country came out of the land. What do you think of that?
It's dangerous because once I was discussing this thing with one devotee, it's like weapons. It's almost like they have a mystic potency that you want to use them. A knife, it's something almost, isn't it almost like mystical about that? Not in a good sense. That you pick it up and you feel some power of Maya, that you feel I could kill someone with this, or a gun. Put a gun in your hand and you feel, oh, I can kill someone. So it's a very dangerous thing. Kshatriya, they are trained to use weapons. They're trained in self-control. They'll only use it as and when necessary. But we see the modern age, people get guns, and it's quite common. They'll just go out and shoot people for no reason. So it's a very dangerous thing.
I never read
anywhere in Prabhupada's books that devotees should carry guns. Now, there may be under certain circumstances. Just like if someone was guarding the temple, and
But to
carry it all the time, better if you feel the need for self-defense. But you can learn some martial art or something like that. But actually, just even these martial arts, if someone shoots you in the back, it's not going to help you. Or even if someone shoots you from the front, it's not going to help you much either. Just like that story was told last night, that who told that? That someone was doing yoga, was talking about yoga and going on and on, talking about yoga. Yoga is, you should teach your disciples yoga, Prabhupada, and it's very good for health. And Prabhupada didn't say anything. And then Prabhupada just turned to Brahmananda, who was like this. And he said to the yogi, he said, if I tell this man to kill you, he will do it. So then what will your yoga help you? So anyway, you have to die at some point in time. Shows a fear mentality. Abhayam sattvasang shubhir. Out of the qualities which Krishna mentions as the saintly or divine qualities, the first one Krishna mentions is abhayam, fearlessness. So in the purport, Prabhupada mentions that's especially meant for sannyasis. But at the same time, it's not generally recommended that you carry a gun with you. If you're so much afraid, then one thing you can carry this, what do they call that? That spray? That mace? I mean, if you are in some dangerous area, you might want to do that.
Instead of carrying a gun. Anyway, he is proud to be a Prabhupada disciple. There are problems here. But we have to follow Prabhupada.
Yeah, that's a very important point. Prabhupada, just as I was saying, I'm a Prabhupada disciple. Someone says, I'm a Prabhupada disciple. But what are you following?
If we're not following, then how are Prabhupada disciple? Disciple means he follows. Disciple means discipline. Sometimes we see Prabhupada, I'm Prabhupada disciple. It means they were initiated 25 years ago, but they didn't follow anything for the last 23 years. And they come in, and here's some devotee who was initiated, you know, 15 years ago, and is doing so much service and taking so much responsibility. Oh, I'm senior, you should do what I say. That's not the problem.
So, Arithat, you said that Brahmachari should be renounced internationally. And it's your parents. I agree what you said. But you know what some men of that says? Whose world is it come? They have imbalances. They enjoy the life. Why pick it up?
Then you're not a Brahmachari. Then you'll be a householder. Brahmachari means Brahma Charati Iti Brahmacharya. If you see they're enjoying, then you're not charity, you're not moving in spiritual consciousness, then you're in material consciousness because they're not enjoying. If you think money and comfortable life is enjoyment, then you're not a Brahmachari. You're not fit for Brahmachari. Then you go and enjoy also.
But don't you think that the householders in Krishna consciousness, they should be simple also? They should take a good example, simple living and high thinking.
That is our motto. But there may be some who have that tendency to be attached to opulent life. So if they do so, that can also be used in Krishna's service. Can also be. Just like if they have some... Just like we see some of our householders, they live quite opulently, but they invite... They move in what we might call high aristocratic society. Prabhupada, once he was talking about Varnashram society, he said the Kshatriya, the king, he should live in a palace. He said he must live in a palace with many bodyguards and retinue just to impress others that he's a king. Then others will follow his example. So some people have that tendency. So if they use that in Krishna's service, that's also right. But if they're like, just like you go in materialistic householders' homes, and you go in their homes and it's just full of all so much garbage, so much junk. They buy all these different toys for their children. They buy so many things they don't need. All kinds of different machines and so many useless things. That's the modern consumer society. They simply accumulate more and more junk. And they buy so many things and then they stick it in the cupboard and they never use it. So that uselessly accumulating things, it's better to live simply.
Like you said that he is not wrong, that I agree with. But I feel that our householders should be simple living also. They have a license to gratify their senses, but they don't have a license to live very lavishly and very superficially. And then at the point when we wish, they want the Krishna consciousness. Simply maintaining our Deha and business and this and that, and this is the point.
No, excess wealth should be given for the service of Krishna. That's the general point. But even to do business, then you'll need some kind of opulence. Just like if you go to a business appointment in some broken down 10-year-old Maruti, then no one will take you seriously. So that's also the, and some, it, I think it may be expected there may be some indulgence in some people's part. But then that's our job as sannyasis, to preach like this. Just like we preach, to follow all, we preach to the householders, you should know that smaram nityam anityatvam, everything here is temporary, and householders should hear that. Regularly they should hear that. But at the same time, we know that people, they've entered household life because they have some material attachments, and it may take them some time to go through that, but at least they should go on regularly hearing. So we may be patient with them also, and we should also go on preaching to them.
And you mentioned about this verse that flies and mice and all the living things should be protected. What do you think of eating mosquitoes?
Generally we don't, but we may also, according to Prabhupada's example. I've researched this point actually. Prabhupada himself did, if they were biting or if they came inside his mosquito net. And he was asked, actually there's one conversation in Bombay, Prabhupada is very strong, you cannot even kill a mosquito. You will have to suffer. But then they asked, if you're a devotee and the mosquito is biting you, and then Prabhupada said, no, if they're biting, they're aggressive, they can be killed.
Okay.
Yeah. And Tamal Krishnamurti was asking about, then if you're bitten and you get malaria, then your service is inhibited. So Prabhupada said, then you can kill. But that doesn't mean that that's like a license that we should, just like Prabhupada is mentioning here, pesticides, sprays, there's these machines that kill mosquitoes. That's not very good. That's also carcinogenic, by the way. It also kills you eventually. Better use a mosquito net. That's the best solution.
What
and we have this duna also. At night you burn that, and that just smokes them away.
What about the cockroaches?
That also, generally we don't. Prabhupada said you keep clean. But I've also researched this. So Prabhupada also gave permission when there was just complete infestation and all over the deity, running all over the deities and everything. He gave some permission. Although generally, like in India, even in other countries, you see cockroaches, they run here and there. And who was that? Hayagriva, someone was telling how Prabhupada was somewhere in Gujarat, in a village or something. And Prabhupada was cooking outside, and the cockroach was running into the pot, and Prabhupada was taking it and using it. Prabhupada was not disturbed at all. So, he can tolerate someone. I mean, I know I see, sometimes everybody's come from the West and they see a cockroach and they almost have a heart attack. And they think, you know, but, you know, they're also living entities. They're unfortunate. They fall into such a position, but they also run here and there, and you may tolerate a few cockroaches without being too much disturbed.
Just recently, I was with one of my GBC partners, and he was sitting warm, and he saw a cockroach. He came in his hand, and what do you do? It was very hard to tell. I saw devotees killing mice. I told this kid, the sannyasi, I said, Maharaj, you should not kill mice. Yes.
No.
Killing mice,
There are traps. There are traps where you catch them
and throw them,
and you take over the river or something.
But I saw in my temple where the sannyasi got with the vase and then they go. He put something, some gloom. Very nice. His foot stuck here, and my suffered, you know, and suffering for so long in the night.
Oh.
I said, this is not good.
That's demoniac.
I told him, and he made me feel so bad.
Such thing they've invented, the mice stands there until he just dies of starvation or something.
Exactly.
Horrible. There's that story that, well known, everyone, all the devotees in Britain know this story, that our one godbrother told Prabhupada that we had so many rats in the temple and we killed them. And Prabhupada turned to him, and three times he said, you should be killed. The rats are coming because you are not clean. You should be killed.
You have so much to say, and the time is going further.
Hare Krishna.
All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Jai.